This is Sunday morning, 9/1/19. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title of this is called Mixture. First scripture verse I want to look at is 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. But the Spirit distinctly and expressly declares that in latter times some will turn away from the faith, giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach, through the hypocrisy and pretensions of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid people to marry and teach them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and have knowledge of the truth. For everything God has created is good, and nothing is to be thrown away or refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is hallowed and consecrated by the word of God and by prayer. If you lay all these instructions before the brethren, you will be a worthy steward and a good minister of Christ Jesus, ever nourishing your own self on the truths of the faith and of the good instruction which you have closely followed. But refuse and avoid irreverent legends, profane and impure and godless fictions, mere grandmother's tales and silly myths, and express your disapproval of them. Train yourself toward godliness, for keeping yourself spiritually fit, is what it says in brackets. For physical training is of some value, useful for a little, but godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything and in every way, for it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come. This is really something that the Lord brought home to me yesterday. He can see why now the devil uses all of these things, the medical system, holistic medicine, diets and exercise regimes, potions and lotions and procedures. Because physical training helps a little bit, it says, but godliness is good for everything. Godly, spiritual training. See, but to emphasize it on the natural, it's a diversion. Let's don't read and pray. Let's do all these self-help things. Let's take it into our own hands, the self-care system. This saying is reliable and worthy of complete acceptance by everybody. With a view to this, we toil and strive, yes, and suffer reproach, because we have fixed our hope on the living God. Not in all of these things. Who is the Savior, preserver, maintainer, deliverer of all men, especially of those who believe, trust Him, rely on Him, and adhere to Him. Continue to command these things and teach them. Let no one despise or think less of you because of your youth, but be an example, pattern for the believers in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Till I come, devote yourself to public and private reading, to exhortation, to preaching, personal appeals, and to teaching and instilling doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, that special inward endowment which was directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit, by prophetic utterance, when the elders laid their hands upon you at your ordination. Practice and cultivate and meditate upon these duties. Throw yourself wholly into them as your ministry, so that your progress may be evident to everybody. Look well to yourself, to your own personality, and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. Hold to them. For by doing so, you will save both yourselves and those who hear you. So he's talking about not getting into all these works of the world, but giving yourself to your calling, to your ministry. It's what you do. You can plainly see the characteristics of the left here, their agenda, and the right. God's way. I saw a video on We Go One, We Go All, and the woman was British, and she was going on about the left being all up in arms about Boris Johnson and doing and what he did regarding Brexit. He came up with a brilliant plan. He asked the Queen to postpone Parliament for a space of time, and now he can go in and do Brexit without any interference. And the Queen granted it. So he's going to be able to go in because the United Nations or the EU was going to come against them and try to stop the Brexit from happening. Because Germany's economy is falling and they need England, and England's out. It was a brilliant move. And anyway, she said they were running around. She said, she's English, and so it was hilarious. She said, they're running around slinging their kiwa and stuffing vegan sausages, trying to make themselves feel better. See, there's the left, forbidding people to marry, not eating meat. Just about everyone, when you start listening to them that are far left, they're all into these extremes in diet. This is unclean. AOC, Cory Book, is it Cory? No, it's not. What's the one that's, he's a, his name is Cory, but he's running for president. Is it Booker? He wants everybody to be vegan. You know, just all this stuff. This is all that far left demonic agenda. They act just like the left does over here, she said. Just like, she said, I'm so thankful. This is why America has Trump and now we have Boris. Why? Same old spirit of the world is working everywhere. It was hilarious to watch. In fact, this is the reason for this word. It's where it all started when the Lord quickened my memory of it. I was just sitting reading my Bible and I just started hearing that woman talk about, they run around slinging their kiwa, which is some kind of messy grain that I don't know, and stuffing vegan sausages in their mouth trying to make themselves feel better because they're losing. And another thing about their characteristics, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. They show a picture in one of the Trump videos of this young woman. When she heard Trump had won, she goes ballistic and starts screaming and having fits and doing all this stuff. They are unrestrained. They are out of control. They are excessive in everything they do, in their diets, in their mannerisms, in their thinking processes. This is the spirit of the world that's at work, not just here, but other places. Okay. All right. Same old spirit of the world is working everywhere. It was hilarious to watch. In fact, this is the reason for the word. The left pushed vegetarian and vegan lifestyles, everything but God-ordained marriage between a man and a woman. The LGBTQPB, which is lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, Q, I don't know what the heck, P, pedophilia, and B, bestiality. And there's some other terms that I couldn't remember all the terms. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, Q, who knows, pedophilia, bestiality. It's a mess. There are actually more, but I couldn't remember them all. Added daily. They push control in just about every area of our lives today through the healthcare system, big pharma, gun control. Their control has gotten out of control. Time to control them in Gitmo. They have no balance. They push, all they push are extremes. Well, let's ban all the cows because cow flatulence is detrimental to our ozone air, whatever it was, atmosphere. No more planes. Can't fly any more planes. You'd have to take a train to Hawaii. You can't take a train to Hawaii. See how outlandish and how far-fetched? They have no agenda. They're speaking crazy, mixed up gobbledygook. You know where that comes from? Satan. God is bringing us out of this, for this is massive mixture. This massive mixture is in the church. Homosexual pastors, you can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. The church has adapted as its own many Babylonian ways. Here are a few. Medical, holistic, diets, exercise regimes, potions, lotions, procedures. I was driving in my car, the Lincoln, and I have the Lincoln app. And it comes up on the screen, would you like us to give you a health assessment? I'm thinking, get the heck out of my car, you demon. You know what they would have told me, knowing my age? They've got their list. Whatever lying symptom the devil comes with you at, they've got their list. They tell you, and you need to, oh, you need to do this. Oh, you need to have this done. It's called control. That's why I don't like, I'm just thinking, I don't think I want another Lincoln. I don't want them telling me anything about me. I don't need them to do anything for me. I need them to leave me alone. They sent me so many stinking surveys to fill out about that car. And I did get one that was kind of small and reasonable. And they asked me if I had any suggestions. And I said, yes, quit sending me so many stupid surveys. This is my suggestion. I don't mind filling out one. Just, you know, take the one and distribute it to your 100 different people that you've let the information out to ask another stupid question about what you think about the purchase. Control. All right. All of it has been through the promotion of Satan's frequency, the propaganda machine, the fake news empires. They push fear with their touch not, taste not, handle not garbage. This is Colossians 2:15. Isn't that what it is? Oh, don't eat that. Oh, don't touch that. Can't do anything. If they had it their way, they'd have you in a straitjacket. Colossians 2:15. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them triumphing over them in him and in it. Therefore, let no one sit in judgment on you in matters of food and drink or with regard to a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath. Such things are only the shadow of things that are to come, and they have only a symbolic value. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it belongs to Christ. Let no one defraud you by acting as an umpire and declaring you unworthy and disqualifying you for the prize, insisting on self-abase and worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he claims he has seen, vainly puffed up by his sensuous notions and inflation by his unspiritual thoughts and fleshly conceit. See, okay. And holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, supplied and knit together by means of its joints and ligaments, grows with the growth that is from God. If then you have died with Christ to material ways of looking at things and have escaped from the world's crude and elemental notions and teachings of externalism, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to rules and regulations such as do not handle this, do not taste that, do not even touch them? Referring to things, all of which perish with being used, to do this is to follow human precepts and doctrines. Such practices have indeed the outward appearance that properly pass for wisdom in promoting self-imposed rigor, a devotion and delight of self-humiliation and severity of discipline of the body, but they are of no value in checking the indulgence of the flesh, the lower nature. Instead, they do honor God, but instead they do not honor God, but serve only to indulge the flesh. They go on to talk about the resurrection of Christ. So all these things are just extremes that the world is trying to push on us. We will know which master they serve, but he is under our feet because of Jesus. God is telling us to come out of her, my people. The Lord's putting us out of this system, out of these mindsets and ways of thinking in this area. There's no way that we're going to go forth like Jesus did if we are all encumbered still in this, what we were raised in. We've got to come out of it. Revelation chapter 18 talks about, come out of her, my people. We really, really have to, well, we need to listen to the Lord about how to change rules, regulations, and laws. The president right now is working on legislation to give us back our civil liberties. And civil liberties, what they say is, you don't have any more mandatory vaccinations. You don't have any mandatory exams. You can use my freedom of religion, that's part of your civil liberties, because of religious reasons, I refuse to participate in this or to do this. Mm-hmm. He's trying to reinstate that right now. We have been highly infringed upon. We've had our constitutional rights trampled over, backwards and forwards. But we're returning to the Constitution and the Republic, so things are going to get righted. But sometimes we have to be the one to speak the change in. We don't like something, we need to change it. We need to speak with our mouth. They have no problem spewing their filth and their poison and trying to get it established. That's the problem. We let them spew and we've not done anything to counter it. So we have to counter it. All right, Revelation 18:4. I then heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you may not share in her sins, neither participate in her plagues. Uh-oh. Plagues. Ooh. For her iniquities, her crimes and transgressions are piled up as high as heaven. God has remembered her wickedness and her crimes and calls them up for settlement. Don't want to be a part of that. We must get out so we will not be overtaken in its takedown. All right, verse 6 on down. Let's repay to her what she herself has paid to others and double her doom in accordance with what she has done. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed for others. So Haman's going to be hung on the gallows, but it's going to be double. To the degree that she glorified herself and reveled in her wantonness, living deliciously and luxuriously, to that measure imposing her torment and anguish and tears and mourning, since in her heart she boasts, I am not a widow, as a queen on a throne I sit, and I shall never see suffering or experience sorrow. So shall her plagues, afflictions, calamities come thick upon her in a single day, pestilence and anguish and sorrow and famine, and she shall be utterly consumed, burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. And the rulers and the leaders of the earth who joined her in her immorality, idolatry, and luxuriated with her will weep and beat their breasts and lament over her when they see the smoke of her conflagration. They will stand a long way off in terror of her torment, and they will cry, woe, and alas, the great city, the mighty city, Babylon. In one single hour, how your doom, judgment, has overtaken you. And the earth's businessmen will weep and grieve over her because no one buys their freight cargo anymore. Their merchandise is of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, of fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet stuffs. All kinds of scented wood, all sorts of articles of ivory, all various of objects of costly woods, bronze, iron, and marble. Cinnamon, spices, incense, ointment, and perfume, and frankincense, of wine and olive oil, fine flour and wheat, of cattle and sheep, horses and conveyances, auto industry, conveyances, and of slaves and souls of men, the ripe fruits and delicacies, for which your soul longed, have gone from you, and all your luxuries and dainties, your allegiance and splendor are lost to you, never again to be recovered or experienced. The dealers who handled these articles, who grew wealthy through their businesses with her, will stand a long way off in terror of her doom and torment, weeping and grieving loud and saying, alas, alas, for the great city that was robed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, bedecked and glittering with gold and with precious stones, with pearls. They're talking about the Vatican here. In case you've noticed, the three cities, the Eye of the Pyramid, London, D.C., Vatican City. Because in one single hour, all of vast wealth has been destroyed, wiped out, and all ship captains and pilots, navigators, and all who live by seafaring, the crews, and all who ply their trade on the sea stood a long way off and exclaimed as they watched the smoke of her burning, what city could be compared to the great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and grieved, exclaiming, woe and alas for the great city, where all who had ships on the sea grew rich from her great wealth. In one single hour she has been destroyed and has become a desert. I remember seeing hearing the prophecy of, his name was Brennan. What was his first name? He had a revelation. He saw, I think what he saw was D.C. and it looked like it had been nuked. Well, you know, D.C., the whole city is nothing but a demonic symbol. And I know what the Lord showed me, the dream about it's going to crumble to the ground and all the satanic and stuff. So it wouldn't surprise me if we don't see that at Vatican City. All roads lead to Rome. And also London. those that have are part of this ungodly system here. Rejoice, celebrate over her, O heavens, O saints, people of God, and apostles and prophets, because God has executed vengeance for you upon her. Then a single powerful angel took up a boulder like a great millstone and flung it into the sea, crying, with such violence shall Babylon, the great city, be hurled down to destruction and shall never be found again, or again be found. This is that system that God is taking down at this moment. It is. And the sound of harpists and minstrels and flute players and trumpeters shall never again be heard in you, and no skilled artisan of any craft shall ever again be found in you, and the sound of the millstone shall never again be heard in you. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. There's still nothing there where Sodom and Gomorrah was ashed. God nuked it. Fire and brimstone from heaven. Never again shall the light of a lamp shine in you, and the voice of bridegroom and bride shall never be heard in you again. For your businessmen were like the great and prominent men of the earth, and by your magic spells and poisonous charms, all nations were led astray. Big pharma, mandatory vaccinations. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all those who have been slain on the earth. This whole system is coming down. No more mixture. No more tranny. No more gray. Just black and white. Right or left. It is all a mass of confusion. LGBTQ ... XYZ. God has been here before, and he brought it down then, and he is bringing it down now. Like JFK said, I will break the CIA in 1,000 pieces and scatter them to the wind. I personally believe that they will be no more after the swamp is completely drained. They have been behind most, if not all, of the killing, the stealing, and destroying going on in our nation and many other decades. I was writing this before all this happened here. Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. See, they had a revolt. They were going to storm heaven, take God out, get on the throne. Satan was pushing them. He brought it down. The Spirit of the Lord is saying to you today to renew your minds, get rid of the mixture in your life. Mixture indicated two minds or double-minded. Elijah, confronting the people of his day, asked this question. This is 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you halt and limp between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. James says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let not that man think that he'll ever receive anything from the Lord. There is no mixing in the Old Testament. No mixing of seed of any kind. They didn't even mix their fabrics. God is separating all of this out. We're going to look at a few more scriptures here. Matthew 25. A lot of people have thought, yeah, the United States is going to be nuked with nukes because they saw what William Brennan saw. But what I believe, he saw D.C. He saw God bringing it down to the ground. Matthew 25:32. All nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them from one another as a sheep separates his goats, separates his sheep from the goats. He will cause the sheep to stand on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those at the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you brought me together with yourselves and welcomed and entertained and lodged me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me with help and ministering care. I was in prison, and you came to see me. In other words, they chose the Lord's way, and they did the Lord's bidding. Then the just and upright will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome and entertained you, or naked and clothed you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and came to visit you? And the king will reply to them, truly I tell you, insofar as you did not for one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, be gone from me, you cursed, and to the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me and entertain me. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me with help and ministering care. Then they will also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and you did not minister, and did not minister to you? And he said, will reply to them, solemnly I declare to you, in so far as you failed to do it for the least of these, you failed to do it for me. Then they will go away into eternal punishment, but those who are just and upright and in right standing with God into eternal life. When I think about the least that they didn't do it to, the little children, the millions that have been sacrificed to Satan through abortion, to Baal, through child sacrifice, human trafficking, cannibalism, drinking of blood, eating of human flesh. Yeah. Two masters, sheep or goats, there's not going to be any mixing. All right. Matthew 25:34 and Matthew 40, when the rest of the chapter rightly defines who the right is and who the left is, who they are and what their end will be. The Babylonian system looks like gold, but it is brass. It is polluted by doctrines of men that have polluted the Word of God. Just as Paul encouraged Timothy, I encourage you today to keep renewing your mind. I know it's difficult at times, but stay the course, endure the hardness. Now let's look at Revelation chapter 14. Then I looked to behold the Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his Father's name inscribed on their foreheads. Now I believe this is the church, and the reason I do is because Israel will not recognize their Messiah until he puts his foot on the Mount of Olives and he ascends. And now I say, it's you? He'll say, yeah, I'm the one you pierced. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of great waters and the rumbling of mighty thunder, the voice I heard of harpists accompanying themselves on their harps. They sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. No one could learn that song except the 144,000 who had been ransomed from the earth. I believe it's the church because we are the new Jerusalem. The bride's wife. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. These are they who have not defiled themselves by relations with women, for they are pure virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb. Jews don't follow the Lamb. They've denied Messiah. Wherever he goes, these are they who have been ransomed from among men as the first fruits of God and the Lamb. These are the born-again believers. No lie was found to be upon their lips, for they are blameless, spotless, untainted, without blemish before the throne of God. Then I saw another angel flying in midair with an eternal gospel to tell to the inhabitants of the earth, to every race and tribe and language and people. The Jews are going to look up when Jesus comes. They said they're going to look on the one whom they pierced. So this is not the Jews. And he cried with a mighty voice, revere God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has arrived. Fall down before him. Pay him homage and adoration and worship him who created heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Then another angel, a second following, declaring, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who made all nations drink of the wine of her passionate unchastity. Then another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a mighty voice, whoever pays homage to the beast and his statue and permits the stamp to be put on his forehead or his hand, he too shall drink of the wine of God's indignation and wrath poured undiluted into the cup of his anger, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb, including those that are born again that do not come out. and the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. They have no respite, day or night. These who pay homage to the beast and to his image, and whoever receives the stamp of his name upon him. Here the steadfastness of the saints, those who keep God's commandments, and they have faith in Jesus. Then I heard further, receiving the distinct words of a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed, happy are the dead from now on who die in the Lord. Yes, blessed, that they may rest from their labors, for their works do follow them. And again I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and sitting on one cloud, one resembling a son of man with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp scythe in his hand. So he's ready to reap the harvest. Okay. So sad, the church should be the one that sets the standard. A city on a hill. Wait a minute, I forgot something. Let me read this again. The Babylonian system looks like gold, but it's brass. It is polluted by doctrines of men that have polluted the word of God. Just as Paul encouraged Timothy, I encourage you today, keep renewing your mind. I know that it is difficult at times, but stay the course and endure the hardness. It's so sad the church should be the one that sets the standard, a city on a hill for all to see. But we see a church that tries to copy the world. We see it in all seven mountains of culture, education, religion, family, business, government / military, arts / entertainment, and media. We have all been affected by it. Say this confession with me. Every plant which my Heavenly Father has not planted will be torn up by the roots. Brass represents humanism or humanistic. Looks good on the outside, but it's not. One of Brother E. Hagen's most powerful books to the church was Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, and he goes into detail about this. Go read it if you haven't. And if you have and it's been a while, you might do you good to read it again. This is what the Lord's saying to us this morning. As a result, we see this today. Because I forget the king that went in and they stole the shields out of the temple, so he got brass shields and he had them shined up every day to where they look like gold, but they were brass. Okay, the reason that we see what we see today in our culture is because the church has substituted brass for gold. Romans chapter 1. First of all, the church has been ashamed of the gospel. Pastors are afraid to get up in their pulpit and call a spade a spade. There will be no mixture. There will be no mixture. Verse 17, or verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul says. For it is the God's power working into salvation to everyone who believes, with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith. As it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. For God's wrath and indignation are revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness repress and hinder the truth and make it inoperative. For that which is known about God is evident to them and made plain in their inner consciousness because God has shown it to them. For ever since the creation of the world, his invisible nature and attributes, that is, his eternal power and divinity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made. So men are without excuse. Because when they know and recognize him as God, they did not honor and glorify him as God or give him thanks, but instead they became futile and godless in their thinking. And their senseless minds were darkened. So they refused to let the word of God renew their mind. God's word clearly defines his way. Claiming to be wise, they become fools. And by them, the glory and majesty and excellence of the immortal God were exchanged for and represented by images resembling mortal man and birds and beasts and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to sexual impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over and abandoned them to vile affections and degrading passions, for their women exchanged their natural function for an unnatural and abnormal one. And the men who also turned from natural relations with women were set ablaze with lust for one another, men committing shameful acts with men and suffering in their own bodies and personalities and inevitable consequences and penalty of their wrongdoing and going astray, which was their fitting retribution. I was telling Danny that I had listened to an interview. It was 700 Club, and this young man, or fairly young man, he had been a gay. And he was at a coffee shop, and he saw some people sitting at a table with Bibles on the table, and he asked them about it. And I think they offered to him come over and join them. He said he was raised Catholic, but he doesn't remember ever reading the Bible, didn't even have a Bible. And they started talking to him, and they invited him to church. And he said he went to church, and he said he didn't even see the people that invited him, but he just went up front and sat by himself. And he said, as the preacher started preaching, the things that he said just resonated in me. And he said, you know, we're going to have praise and worship now, but there's people over here to pray for you if you need prayer. So he went over there and got prayer, and this man started to pray for him. He said, I began to weep and to weep and to weep. And he said, I had an encounter with Jesus. And he said, in the encounter, you know, he said, I'd been defined by my sexuality. That was who I was. He said, when I met Jesus, he became my identity. And that other became nearly nothing. Now he tells people, I'm no longer gay. He said, I am content to live the rest of my life celibate and serving my Lord Jesus Christ. That is enough for me. What happened? A change of mind. I think his book is called A Change of Heart or A Change of Mind, something like that. It all had to do about a mindset change. He started hearing things. He started hearing the gospel. Wow, yes. He said, I had been everywhere, traveled the world, done everything, and I was not satisfied. But Jesus did it for him. Jesus became his identity. Our identity is not in our sexuality. It's in who Jesus is. Who we are in Him. That's where we find our identity. It's not in all of these things. The whole world runs after those things. Okay, verse 28. And so since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or approve of Him or consider Him worth the knowing, God gave them over to a base and condemned mind to do things not proper or decent, but loathsome, until they were filled with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping and covetous greed and malice, full of envy and jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, treachery, ill will, and cruel ways. Secret backbiters and gossipers, slanderers, hateful, hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, sounds like the news. Boasting, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient, undutiful to parents, without understanding, conscienceless and faithless, heartless, loveless, merciless. Though they are fully aware of God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve to die, they not only do them themselves, but approve and applaud others who practice them. Well, we're talking about our society today, the world we live in. The mixture has been there all along, but hidden in plain sight. But now that the swamp is being drained, it is being exposed for all to see, and it's really nasty. The Lord warned me a few years ago not to be surprised who will fall, and I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about the church. Let's look at Matthew 13. Verse 24. In another parable he set forth before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while he was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed also darnel among the wheat and went on his way. So when the plant sprouted and formed grain, the darnel appeared also. And the servants of the owner came to him and said, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? Then how does it have darnel shoots in it? He replied to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, "Then do you want us to go and weed them out?" He said, "No, lest in gathering the wild wheat, weeds resembling wheat, you root up the wheat along with it. Let them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will say to the reapers, gather the darnel first and bind it in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my granary." So that's how God is going to reap. Okay, bring it all out. Brass looks just like gold when it's all polished, but I know why I never fit in certain congregations, but just couldn't put my finger on it. But I can now. They were substituting brass for coal. If you want to read that story, this is 1 Kings 14, verse 22 through 28. In God's temple, originally there was only gold. We have let the world come in and substitute it with brass. What is brass? Programs instead of power. God's power. It's what we need in the church. Nothing wrong with programs if God's power is behind that program. Instead of seeking God for refuting of the power, we just start following someone else's book or the way the church across town does it, or just how the world does it. It's called worshiptainment. I've seen seminars, and we're talking big Word of Faith conferences, and what their youth performed was no different than watching some hip-hop of the world entertainment. Okay. Okay, what did I, let me, okay. In Acts, they were full of power and went out and did the commission. Today, we see a lot of entertainment to lure them in. Jesus told us to go catch them. He made us fishers of men. Right here, I was listening to, this is Jim Baker's show on YouTube, and this caught my attention. This man's name is, let me look here, I wrote it down, Francis Miles. He was a black man. I think he's from Africa. He just had that accent about him. But he said he went to the Lord and asked the Lord, "Lord, why Donald Trump?" And he told him why Donald Trump. I think you'll enjoy this. He said, this is the Lord speaking here, "I enabled Trump to become a self-made millionaire and gave him access to the exclusive clubs of Americans, ruling class, and political elites in the deep state." See, they consider Donald Trump a traitor because he was one of them, even though he wasn't in the pedophilia and all the dishonesty, but he was part of he ran in their crowds. So now they consider him a traitor. That's why they're doing what they're doing to him. Trump fulfills the prophetic template of generational disruptors that I've used in the Bible to shift cultures, like Cyrus, prime example. Donald Trump's offensiveness is bringing down their facades. You know, they've been in secret, hiding behind their mask. They have been hiding behind a mask. We have never known how corrupt, we would have never known how corrupt they were without Donald Trump. He calls them what they are, and boy, they rile back at him, and here comes out, the mask comes off, and you see them for what they are. Everything is being revealed. I've given Trump the mental fortitude of Jehu to confront the Jezebel spirit that controls America. He will have 4 more years, and the Jezebel spirit will completely collapse. So I thought that was pretty cool. He really had a... I believe the Lord really gave that to this man. So anyway, we've just got to keep renewing our mind, keep coming out. Once we get out, we stay out.